Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, two-time Masters champion, Ryder Cup captain, 1999. So good to hear your voice. It was great seeing you on television going over the hole locations for today's round of golf. We've got Ron Green, Jr., senior writer, Global Golf Post. He's at Augusta. Augie Pizza, he is the founder of Pizza Golf, award-winning golf course design and development. He's been there. We're going to talk to him about some of the changes at the holes. Diana DeLucia, founder of Golf Kitchen Magazine, Coffee Table Books, and the founder of the annual Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards. And the first annual Golf Kitchen Invitational is happening in September. Robert Denny, PGA Historian Emeritus, will be joining us, as will Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor. But first, we're going to thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood. Ready to hang or custom made, sales and service. That's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
What a leaderboard about 2 minutes ago. Tiger Woods was teeing off his third round. He made the cut. I mean, it was a tough round yesterday. No doubt about it. It was hard. But he had, what was it, five bogeys in the beginning. So he brought it back to just one over. Not bad for someone who, I guess it was 14 months ago when, you know, after that car crash, they were thinking about amputating a leg. And here he is playing in the Masters. Let's bring in the man, Ron Green, Jr., senior writer, Global Golf Post, on site. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Good afternoon here. Good morning to you, I guess.
Yes. It's 7:02 in the morning in Hawaii. Tell me, the excitement must be palpable.
Two things are palpable here, the excitement and the cold. It's really, really cold here today. It's probably temperatures, wind chill factor in the 40s here today. Somebody said it's nice they finally are playing the Masters in the Kingdom of Fife.
Because
it won't be this cold at St. Andrews in July, probably. But it's, you know, interesting day. And, there's been a buzz this whole week just because of Tiger being here. I mean, there's always a buzz to the Masters, but it just elevated it exponentially.
What's the estimate? When I see the crowds that are gathered around watching, and pretty much on all the holes, but it just, you know, the cameras on Tiger, how many people are standing around 10 deep?
Well, wherever Tiger is, you sort of know it's coming a little in advance and a little after it's gone. But, I mean, it's like in the old days. I mean, it's just people crowd around him to try to get a piece of this. And out trying to watch, particularly Thursday, I said, you know, you could watch him walk by, but getting in position to actually see him hit a shot became really difficult because it's where, you know, the bulk of the people tended to gravitate. Now, obviously, they have a lot of patrons here at Augusta National, and they're scattered all around the golf course. But, I mean, it's just any year Tiger is sort of the magnet that attracts everybody, but this year more so. Yeah. Because none of us saw this coming even 3 months ago.
Yeah, none of us saw this coming 2 weeks ago. It was like, yeah, there's all this talk, but sure. You know, it was like, yeah, in our dreams, and here it is, you know. Truly, I wasn't putting a lot of stock in him playing. I wasn't going to have my expectations that high. But when he was there starting to play practice rounds, I almost wondered if he did too much preparation, if he was there too much in the very beginning and playing so many rounds of golf. I suppose, given his physical condition, that probably was in his best interest, although I was afraid it would tire him out.
Yeah, I kind of wondered when he made the initial trip up here if it was more to find out if he could do it or to convince himself that he couldn't do it. But obviously he found out he could. And we forget what he was going through with his back just whatever it was 3 years ago when he went in 19, and just all it took for him to get ready to play with his back after the fusion and all that. Well, that's still part of his equation to get ready to play. And then you throw in the leg thing. It's remarkable what he's doing. And now you throw in it is really, really cold out there and windy, and it's a hard day to play. Most people wouldn't want to play golf today. And now he's got to go out there and battle this golf course. But, I mean, if we know anything about him, he can take tough things and absorb them. And, you know, he's not afraid to play with some pain. But I can only imagine how he's going to feel by the time he gets home Sunday night and sort of decompresses from all this.
Truly, sitting in a hot tub for hours. We've got an incredible leaderboard. And Scottie Scheffler was fairly amazing watching him play. He's got a 5-shot lead already going into this third round, and moving day is underway. He's won 3 times already this year, this PGA Tour season. Did you see him coming out so strong and now at the Masters dominating?
I don't think anybody saw this. I mean, when you go back to January and the question was, hey, when's he going to win? I mean, he's a really good player, but sooner or later you have to win a tournament. Well, now he's won 3 of his last 5 starts, and look where he is in the Masters. And, you know, he just looks so comfortable doing it. It doesn't take anything away from him, but the players, we sort of had our eyes focused on John Rahm and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and, you know, Dustin Johnson, all those guys. They haven't done much this year, at least in terms of winning.
True.
But then on the flip side, well, maybe they could win because, you know, Scottie Scheffler's won 3 of these. You know, Sam Burns has won some. Cam Smith had a really good year. But I mean, Scottie Scheffler looks totally comfortable in, as the number one player coming in here. You would think there's a lot of, it could be too much. Maybe it'll turn out to be that way this weekend. I have my doubts about that. I think at this moment, anyway, he's probably got to come back to the field because I think I don't see anybody shooting 67 in these conditions. I might be wrong, but, I mean, he's at 8 under par, and, you know, I would think if he's at 8 under par when they go to bed tonight, I think he will be in a really, really good spot.
Yes. I think it's happened 5 times before that someone has had the lead, a 5-stroke lead, that's it, and here he is. But this leaderboard, Shane Lowry, Hideki Matsuyama, Charles Schwartzel, SJ Im, Kevin Na, Cam Smith, Harold Warner III, Dustin Johnson, Danny Willett, Neiman, Thomas, Connors, Morikawa. It's great to see Morikawa moving up again. Zalatoris is there, Spahn. It's really an amazing group of people. There are a lot of guys that didn't make the cut. I wasn't surprised that one in particular, Bryson DeChambeau, did not make the cut. He said he was. I don't think he even should be playing. He didn't break 80.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he. I think he came because it was the Masters, and he really downplayed his chances beforehand. And, you know, what is it, since he proclaimed Augusta National a par 67 for him, he's 19 over par just on par as a par 72.
Yes, yeah, so that was, much too early. What happened with Spieth? I was really surprised, not really surprised, except at Augusta he's been fairly successful.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, you just watch him sort of going through this exaggerated rehearsal he's doing right now, trying to find things. I mean, you know, he's always been a guy who you get a lot of sort of nervous energy with him, the way he talks and the way he moves and everything. I think he's really searching right now. We thought he had found it all and gotten it back to where he needed to be. And I don't know. I mean, He was a late addition to play at Hilton Head next week, which speaks to sort of, I think, the seriousness that he's not real pleased at where he is right now and needs to find something. But I don't know that what he's looking for can be found overnight.
No, it's, stinking thinking. It's gosh, as soon as that creeps in, and you're not just playing out of your you know, that aspect of the game where you can just do it rather than think it. It always gets in the way. The brain can, the thinking part just has to be put in the closet. And then when you try to do that, of course, the opposite happens, right? When you try not to think and just play, it's very, very difficult.
Stuart's, yeah, this old play golf, not golf swing.
Yes, that's it. And Stuart Sink, great to see him. Made a hole in one.
Yes.
How did? Yes.
You know, I mean, it's. I mean, that they had it in that position yesterday. The flag was lit. The hole was cut there where you could make some, as it will be again tomorrow. And you know, there were a lot of guys who sort of scared it, but he made the ace. And I think tomorrow's supposed to be like sunny and 73 degrees, the wind down, and they'll have that flag just where they want it down there. So we might see another one or so tomorrow. But Stuart Sink bonus. Got that one yesterday.
That's nice. That was nice. I don't think he did not make the cut, but at least he had a hole in one at Augusta National. That would make anybody happy. Certainly would make me happy. And he looked like he was really having a great time. What do the hole locations look like to you today? Anything stand out on this windy, cold day?
Since we're talking about 16, and they had it down left yesterday, and they'll have it there tomorrow, they have it tucked right up on the right side, close to the bunker on the right side. So you're going to see a bunch of players putting up the hill from the left side of the green up the hill. That's not a place you're going to make many birdies. They have it. It looks like it's barely on the front right of the 13th green this today. Really hard to get it close there. Yeah, they sort of recontoured that green subtly. I think it gives them a little more leeway with some hole locations. I think that might be one of them. There's one other one I was thinking about today. It's all the way back on one, which is playing straight into the cold wind.
Whoa.
It's one of the most underrated hard holes on this golf course. It will, I think, flags left, I think, on 12 today. So, yesterday with that west wind, guys would hit these shots in it. There was a spell there where it felt like everybody's ball was getting caught up in some sort of wind stream and just flying over the green. So it'd be pretty amusing to sit and watch them try to guess clubs on 12.
Okay, that's good. where have you been? You've been, who have you been following?
I went out and watched people watch Tiger Thursday. It was about the best I could do. Did a lot of that. I spent some time yesterday at the 10th hole just watching, they have sort of a bunch of features group coming through there, and watched a lot of guys that way. And I just sort of tend to get out there and roam around. I don't necessarily walk with one group, but I try to go just see different players. It's fun to stand out near the 7th hole and watch them hit the shots up into that green. It's really, really tough going in there. And so I've tried to get a good cross section of players, but I haven't sort of just set off with one player other than Tiger.
Right. And now, as a member of the media, don't you have an inside the rope option?
Not at Augusta. No.
Ah,
you are even photographers are just outside the ropes like everybody else. So at a regular tour event, at pretty much every other event, I have an inside the ropes option, but I do not here. I just, everybody's the same here.
So you, let me through.
Yeah.
Not on your life.
Well, we do have the world's greatest media center, though. I mean, it's hard to describe how nice, how elegant, it's just, it's like a museum, and, beautiful wood tube giant auditoriums, and I mean, I'm standing here 40 yards from a TV that's still almost too big for me to see. You know, it's just, it's like they have movie screens all around for you to watch.
Okay, and it's got a fantastic snack shop, calf, whatever you want to call it, where you can get great grinds. But let me ask you, pimento or egg salad? Pimento cheese or egg salad?
I probably would lean pimento cheese. The egg salad's a little creamy for me, right? My taste right now. It used to be a little more chunky with eggs, but, you know, and I've suddenly, they have a fried chicken sandwich. I sort of found myself gravitating to the fried chicken sandwich, put a little couple packets of hot sauce on there. It's nice. You know, we're fortunate. We have all the concessions they have on the golf course.
Yes.
We have all that set up here. Then we also have a restaurant where they're very nice. I mean, you walk in, there's a hostess, they seat you, and looks like a really fine restaurant. And, you know, I just had a bowl of clam chowder and a Cobb salad for lunch. And, you know, you can get fried chicken. They had Cuban sandwiches today, cheeseburgers. They always have, you know, fish tacos, things like that. So we are spoiled like nowhere else.
Well, I'm vicariously re-experiencing everything. Say hello to those beautiful pines for me. I loved being just on property and walking the course. I happened to see Bernard Langer with his caddy. It was on Wednesday, and just nice walking the whole course. And boy, is it a walk. Ron Green.
It is a real walk.
Yes.
That's the one thing I'll say. People, if you watch Tiger, it's hard to explain how hard the walk is.
Yep. Yes, it is. Exactly. Ron Green Jr., award-winning golf journalist, including 6 first-place awards from Golf Writers Association of America. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a bit about the changes. Augustin Augie Pisa is going to be with us, and he is the founder of Pisa Golf, a Bachelor of Architecture from ITESM, Masters in Golf Course Architecture from Edinburgh University in Scotland. We'll be back with him after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Founder of Pisa Golf, Augustin Augie Pisa, Bachelor of Architecture from ITESM, Masters in Golf Course Architecture from Edinburgh University in Scotland. He's an award-winning golf course design and development. Golf Inc.'s Power 2020 issue, upcoming. They named him an upcoming and superstar in the golf industry. So Bobby Jones and Alistair McKenzie with Marion Hollins, the first woman golf course developer, wanted to make an inland version of the old course at St. Andrews. Of course, Jones won the Open three times, the first in 1926. Now, the golf course has gone through some radical changes, Augusta National. Let's bring Augie Pisa in. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. How are you doing? I'm very excited to be here, especially on a Masters Saturday.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate this.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Okay, so 11 and 15. Those holes have been lengthened, right?
Well, they have been lengthened, but 11 now is opened on the right side. So it has opened, probably gotten back a little bit to the potential excitement of attacking the green on various angles now that it is open to the right side a little bit. They left some pine trees there, which I thought was very exciting when I was walking the course this week. And 15, I think it's probably one of the first times that I really loved extending a hole. You know, a hole extension is not all the time what we should do. Sometimes it is moving a few bunkers, maybe messing around with the levels and the tie-ins around the greens, runoffs, angles, etc. I think this time, that extension on 15 has been my favorite extension, probably arguably on all the golf course for now. It really took that hole back to the original intent of thinking twice before you hit that long iron into that elongated across perpendicular green and with water obviously in the front, but then water also in the back just in case you hit a long shot. So I think number 15 is the best adjustment so far, in my opinion.
Right. Oh, of course. Oh, now, there's a lot of talk of 13 being lengthened because Augusta National bought more of that land behind 13. I mean, there was a lot of talk in 2013 when I was there, and that was, you know, eons ago.
Yes.
And three other holes have new greens. So you did a behind the scenes for Golf Today on the course, on these changes. And some of them still speculated. What do you think about 13? Does it need to be lengthened?
Well, the golf course always tells a story, Danielle. Especially great golf architecture. You're going back to the golden age of architecture in the 30s. You're talking about Alistair McKenzie. You're talking about Bobby Jones. That was a great duet. And then Marion Hollins, of course, who made all of this happen. So, you know, when you're talking about 13, we shouldn't only just base ourselves in one single hole. You have to connect from 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That is a beautiful part of a story. I like to think of our designs as creating a very nice book, kind of like every hole being a chapter. So you need the rising action, the surprising endings. You need all of these things, the plot to thicken. And then you shouldn't just talk about just one hole, but what is the story telling you? So if you have 10, which is a monster right to left hole, then you have 11, which is the monster. Then it goes back to 12 on a short par three, but very, very dangerous with those swirling winds. And 13, yes, it can be lengthened, to answer your question. Yes, it can be lengthened. Yes, we can always go back, especially now that they bought, as you well mentioned, that lot behind there. But I don't know if this one in particular should be lengthened. that beautiful distance that you have, that dog leg left again, that plays, now it's a no-brainer, obviously, to go for the green. But what if we leave it as it is, or we even shorten it and probably make them think about a long iron or a three wood in by encroaching that area, and maybe, just maybe, you know, creating, being a part of this whole story where you have driver on 10, driver on 11, where you have to smash it, and then a very short par three, and then maybe a finesse shot into the first shot and the second shot to calculate your second shot on 13, and then you have a driver again on 14 and on 15. So I really like that change of gears that could happen. So I don't know. This is just in my way of thinking of how to analyze. I'm a critical thinker by nature. So it's not necessarily all about lengthening. Maybe that is the best choice. But I would study also maybe even encroaching a little bit of the fairway and making them think twice to grab a driver there on 13 in particular, because that turn right there, I also like talking about thresholds in our designs. So that once you hit that driver on 13 and you pass that threshold and you look to your left, it is just a fabulous story there. It is a painting, probably the Mona Lisa of golf courses right there. So when you have that painting, you really, you don't want to tarnish it by creating something that is just, maybe at the end not adapting to one of the finest holes in golf history. I think that's probably why they haven't made pulled the trigger on that change, because I think they're really thinking and super thinking how to keep that hole and how to cherish it with the original intent.
Yeah, and the original intent, Mackenzie and Jones and Hollins, of course, they were, as you mentioned in your response to the question that was posed to you about what would they think? Some people, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, they said that this is terrible, this whole thought of, Mackenzie and Jones would be turning in their graves. What do you think about?
I really don't think so, to be honest. I think if there were somebody as progressive in that age, it was those three, Bobby Jones, Hollins, and Alistair Mackenzie. Even if you read The Spirit of St. Andrews by Alistair Mackenzie or any of his books, you will see that he mentions that in the future there should be lengthened. Hmm. Some holes should be lengthened. Some holes should evolve. And golf architecture, that's the beauty of it. The beauty of golf architecture is that it's organic. It's a living thing. It should evolve. And if there's one golf course in the world that has evolved every single year, you go all the way back. I mean, just take a look at 16. That was actually just the creek going through 16. Now it's a lake. You've seen every hole has changed a few times over and over and over again in the past almost 100 years. So I think that it's one of the best examples of how golf and its necessities and its different varieties and its different decades. I think this is one of the best examples of how golf probably should evolve. I don't think that they should be turning into their turning on their grave. I think that they would be, they would be very proud of what's going on, because at the end, even though with all of these changes or evolutions, we always think about them. We always think about, hey, what would they think with these changes? We always go back and think about them. So if there's a better ode to any architect, any designer out there, is almost 100 years now, for whatever change we do, we always question ourselves, would they like it or not? That is transcending. That is the real importance of this this beautiful, fantastic work of art that was done in the 30s.
When you were answering the questions that were posed by Golf Today, the answer that I really liked a lot about experimenting, moving, you know, taking the old course and trying to put it in an inland and having to deal with the difference in climate, culture, soils, humidity, trees, of course, underestimated elevation changes. Then you also spoke about the play in November that we saw during the height of the pandemic. I loved what you said about how the sun and the shadows made the course different.
Thank you for that observation, Danielle. One of the first things that I think whenever I'm walking one of these masterpieces is the overall composition. We're walking, you know, I have a saying, golf is the only work of art you can play on. So when you're walking these beautiful, majestic places, I'm thinking about other things as well. Not only playability, not only where the pin placement is. I'm looking at the angles of the sun, the wind. How is the wind going to play? So what I liked most and enjoyed most, ironically, of the November Masters was the actual shadows that were obviously different because of the different time of the year. That's what I take about the November Masters. I really was enjoying that aspect of it. Of course, you had other even different types of grasses, etc. But you know, this is what I see when I walk on a course. I'm taking in the 360 degree experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right on, dead on the money on that one. Because, you know, the shadows, the light changes everything. The way it looks, the depth perception is completely changed by lighting. But the whole idea of lengthening, it has to do, of course, with the ball. And the question that was posed to you about a Masters golf ball. A Masters golf ball? Do you think that would be a good idea?
I think it would be a great experiment. I don't see why not. I think it would be. Why not? Let's just do it. You know, Danielle, I'll try anything twice. So let's just go out there and just do it. Come on, just
give it a shot.
Let's just give it a shot. Let's give it a go. And if it works, it works. I think like I said, it's not all about length. It's not all about length. It's golf. Golf shouldn't be, and I'll quote my partner on this, Brandel Chamblee, but I mean, golf shouldn't be about muscle. We don't want to, you know, I lost my interest in tennis when it became a power game, and I used to play competitive tennis growing up in my formative years. So, I don't really want to see this become a muscle game. I want that finesse. I want that Michael Chang back there on the courts. You know, I want that finesse golf played. And if we need a special ball for this, you know, if we need special shoes to play on clay or on grass or on concrete, I think that's what we should do. I think that it would only add to the excitement of the game. You don't lose the integrity of the game. The integrity is still there. And the integrity, that's the most important thing, and that is what we love about our sport. As long as you don't temper with the integrity, I think that if we play with a different ball, maybe on some events, I think that adds to the excitement. You know, it really brings in to now seeing, okay, who put in their time, who practiced with this ball. Wow, we have the Masters coming up in a month. I need to start playing my practice rounds with the Masters ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be exciting. Like I said, as long as we do not lose the integrity of the game we love, the sport we love, I think that everything should be on the table to think about the future. You know, in order to I have another saying, and in order to design the present, we need to think about the future. What are we gonna leave? You know, golf has been around for 500 years. We better make sure that it's around for the next 500.
I want to ask you about, given your artiste, you know, the artist in you, the colors, the shadowing on the golf courses. You're working, you mentioned Randall Chamblee, you're working with eGolf Arena founder Dave Schultz, indoor golf, collaborating with them on what's it like creating indoor courses?
Oh, that is fantastic, Danielle. I really like to experiment. I love critical thinking, and doing outside the box. To me, this is complementing golf. What we are trying to create, even with our concepts like wellness golf or multi-purpose golf that we've done, our designs are with less resources but more fun. It is about growing the game. It is about inviting the other percentage that feel intimidated by golf, that feel that they don't have time to play golf, that feel that they don't have the money to play golf. That is what we're trying to create or creating with these concepts, including Next Links, the indoor golf arena, because, you know, it would be great to see golf kind of like diversifying into this fork, if you can imagine just a fork. Like I said, are anything that can create a base so that eventually and very easily transitioning into the beautiful game of golf, we would have to open some alternatives that really assimilate the game of golf. That really can, your transition could be very easily go and transition into the game of golf. That is the tricky part of it. And I think we have it. We have very well thought on the Next Links. We're creating, we're on the VR now. We have the pit in VR with Golf Plus on your Oculus Quest. And I'm all for that. We are, you know, just experimenting on different areas, even teasing a little bit with the metaverse. So we're really amplifying all channels that we can grow the game, guarantee it for another 500 years, fingers crossed, and help in that regard. But with that, like I mentioned, without losing the integrity of the game we love.
Yeah, I just think it's marvelous how somebody can hit from the fairway and the ball, because of the computers and the different things that you guys have the mastery over, the point of light takes you to where the ball lands on the green. And then you putt from that spot, and that is amazing.
That is amazing. That is one of my favorite games right now. You know, using the simulators for the long shots, and then just turning 180 degrees, and you have a bunker, a green, and some lasers that are pointing for you to make the proper shot in. So, I think it's great design by Dave Schultz and the mastermind behind Netflix.
Yes, it truly is. This month's Golf Inc. featured Augustin Pizza as one of the 9 most innovative people in golf. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's a real pleasure talking with you. We'll have to do it again.
Please, let's do it. Thank you very much. And best of luck. And enjoy the rest of Masters weekend.
You certainly will. Aloha, Augie. Thank you.
Aloha. Gracias.
We're coming back after this. Robert Denny, PGA Historian Emeritus. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Hoipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
You need a pitch fix so that you can fix the pitch and go on the green and make everything nice just in case there's a ball mark. And yes, the pitch fix could be yours. All you have to be is the ninth caller. And the number is really easy. It's 545-1111. Just the ninth caller. That's all you got to do is pick up the phone, dial 808-545-1111. 1-1 for your pitch fix.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
I'm so excited that Tony Finau has made the cut, and he's playing at Augusta, and Hoagie's playing, and Hovland is playing, and Henley is playing, and Bubba Watson is playing, and they're all still in. Yes. You know, and Tiger is playing, and he's about 42 minutes into his third round. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief and publisher, Golf Kitchen. It's a lifestyle semi-annual magazine, coffee table books, gorgeous work. And she's done so much more in the time that she's made her transition into Golf Kitchen. She is doing now the Golf Kitchen Invitational, Golf Kitchen Culinary Arts Culinary Awards. The dinner will be at Glen Arbor on September 8th. There's the scholarship at the Culinary Institute of America. All of this is happening, and Diana DeLucia is the powerhouse behind it all. Welcome into the clubhouse, Diana.
Aloha, and thanks for having me on the show today. Thank you, Danielle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking about food, and more food. I mean, the kitchen, can you imagine what the kitchen is doing at Augusta National this week, trying to make sure that everybody has, and we had a very interesting, one of the pictures that is in my mind is a picture of Dustin Johnson listening to what Hideki Matsuyama had put together. Of course, it was a very Japanese cuisine kind of, and he's kind of like, this quizzical look on his face. And then at the end, he goes, sounds good. But tell us about, this is new, Diana DeLucia, the Golf Kitchen Invitational. What's happening?
Hey, so I was blessed, as I usually am, by the members and ownership of Glen Arbor Golf Club, because we did so well with last year's event that they decided to add the Golf Kitchen Invitational. So it will be a full day of golf and dinner. We're going to have local area chefs cooking on the golf course. There'll be great, excellent product while you're playing, great spirits and liquors and wines and things like that, and cocktails. And then we have the cocktail hour. It's probably the presentation for the winners, for the first ever winners of the Golf Kitchen Invitational. That's going to be pretty exciting. The cocktail hour and the gourmet dinner might be 4-5 courses this year because we want to bring in a few more chefs.
Wow. That is exciting. Now, everybody in Hawaii remembers the Sam Choi poke shootout over at Hapuna. And every hole, there was a different poke dish. So we had all these different, you know, poke is the local word for, you know, sashimi, but different fishes that are, you know, just served in different ways, all of them raw. And with all kinds of different wonderful sauces and preparations. So the idea of having food at every hole and something to drink at every hole, this is going to be a very fun golf tournament. Everybody is going to have a wonderful time. So the Golf Kitchen Culinary Awards dinner at Glen Arbor follows the Invitational on September 8th, 2022. And this is all sponsored by the National Golf Course Restaurant Association, proud sponsor of the Invitational and the awards evening. That is fantastic to see the kind of support that is wrapping around you.
Yeah, I was talking to my dear friend Rob LeBritz yesterday about that very thing. It's a culmination of 12 years of work and with complete industry support that is just amazing, and it's just all coming together. I'm really proud of how the direction of the event is going. I'm super psyched about it this year. And then I just wanted to let you know the teams and clubs that are cooking.
Oh, please. Okay, ready.
So apart from our lead chef, Michael Ruggiero, the entire team will be under 40 years of age.
Wow, that's great.
And yeah, we want to focus on the younger people because we need to get so much attention and media attention to people outside of the golf industry because there's a major staff shortages at the moment countrywide. Chefs are overworked. Sous chefs, they're working with less staff. They're really trying to find new staff and teams. And, you know, the only way we can do that as an industry as a whole, and to do that we need to, everyone needs to pitch in, help with the scholarships, support the awards and the Invitational, because that is also going to support the scholarships at the Culinary Institute of America for students at the attending the Culinary Institute of America, which we hope will steer students to the private club industry and let them know that there are actual viable, valuable culinary careers in the private club industry, because at this time, the young students are not aware that there's extremely high-level culinary careers out there.
Yeah, it's kind of like the intimidation factor. I don't really belong in a private country club. Well,
we have to change the perception.
Yes, you can work at a private country club and be within there and watch your talent rise to the fore. You know, you are then nurtured in such a way, because in the private country club world, those folks, you know, they want something different, something exciting, something. It's a wonderful world to live in, to work in, and you'll be valued greatly for your contributions and your excitement about the industry and food, culinary food, you know, that whole world. How do they get the scholarship? What does a person have to do?
Well, in a few weeks, probably early May, there's a live auction site going out there by Grandstand Sports to support that scholarship.
Wow.
And it'll have a the usual auction items, some really high ticket things that we are coming up with that are very enticing to people who can afford them. And then we have a cash donation on that website as well, and that will go live probably in early May, and that will be live for right up until the event.
Oh, good. Well,
we want to make a big number. We want to make a big, big number so we can get outside media looking at the industry's culinary talent.
Yes. And see, you know, grandstand sports is big. So getting all the attention to increase the number for the scholarship. Is it one or many?
No, we want many, many, as many as we possibly can get. Because if we don't get many, what's the point of having two or four? We want to have a huge impact. And if we can make, as an industry, a massive impact, it can make big changes for the industry itself and for a lot of students. And, you know, my thinking, I've been talking pretty much every day on Zoom calls all day, every day. And the excitement that's building around this event is just mind-boggling. I mean, having the National Golf Course Restaurant Association sponsoring us, I could not even be happier about that. They have something like 500 clubs in their association. And we were having some discussions with Tori Uhlenfield yesterday on Zoom. She's super excited, and I'm so excited. They're all attending. They're playing in the tournament. And it is golf clubs mainly who are sending teams to the tournament.
That's amazing. And, of course, Rob LaBritz, who's playing on the PGA Tour Champions, director of golf at Glen Arbor. And, that you've got your magazine. The Golf Kitchen magazine is out. It's out in its digital form. The magazines haven't shipped yet. And Rob has nutrition tips before, during, and after golf. Now, he, of all people, would know these things since he's been playing into his 40s and doing amazing as a PGA Tour, as a PGA in different PGA of America events, and now on the PGA Tour Champions. So he's a dynamo, amazing. So how do we get your magazine so we can read that?
Well, it's already gone to the printer, so you can still subscribe. Usually we have overs, so if you subscribe, I just would highly let everybody know that there's a huge cover stock supply problem at the moment with our cover stock, and there's a bit of a delay in our printing process.
Well, yes, everything is rationed.
Drew, you have no idea. Remember the last edition, we had all this glue problems because I shouldn't even be talking about this on radio, but they come up with blobs of glue and you're like, what is happening? Now we have to do it again and again. Because it was because the glue was a different glue because they couldn't get the regular glue for the binding.
One. Yeah, figures, right?
It was like the nightmares of publishing.
Yes, do this over again. We need another run. Yeah, wait a minute. The stock is already, low supply problems. Yeah, it's...
but I didn't announce who was cooking.
No, tell us who's cooking.
Okay, so our young lineup of chefs 40 and under, we have Wes Tyler from Carlton Woods in Texas, the club at Carlton Woods. Wes is 34 years of age, handsome young fellow, and very, very keen eye for presentation. He is really into his career and supporting those that work with him. Then there's Sean Ola, who's also 34 years old, and he is out of Highlands Falls Country Club in North Carolina, which is a beautiful spot. I mean, that place is stunning in the fall, absolutely stunning. He's so into it. And one of the things about Sean is his ability with pastries is insane, absolutely. And it's not even his thing. He just puts a lot of work into it, but... he now has a new pastry chef, so he doesn't have to do the pastries anymore, so that's a good thing. Then we have Hannah.
Oh, yes, Hannah.
And that's a little bit of an announcement here. Hannah is now moved over to Addison Reserve, and she will be cooking at the Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards. I have a soft spot for Hannah.
Yes, she's
beautiful.
And
is, she'll be 30. Then we have Marissa Hernandez, who is pastry chef at Glen Arbor, as you know. Marissa's 36, I do believe. And you can see the field's pretty young. And we're trying to get Jose Carle from Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Will be there and playing in the tournament. As you know, you love Jose.
I do. I can't help myself.
Oh. And I'm trying to get Zuhair Balout to the event from Reynolds Lake Oconee. I really want to have him there. He's the first Moroccan chef I've covered, and I have a huge soft spot for Morocco, as you know.
Yes, yes. Oh, good. This is going to be exciting. And we're going to have to talk again in early May. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief, publisher, Golf Kitchen, doing so much work for the industry. And I just have to say that Glen Arbor's Morgan Gregory, president, said, "We are honored to host the 4th annual Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards that recognizes executives at the forefront of providing the highest caliber experience for members and guests. The creativity, attitude, thinking of club chefs has significantly progressed in the last decade, and we are encouraged at the direction the industry is moving. Diana and Golf Kitchen are at the forefront of this movement." Thank you so much for being on the show, Diana.
Thank you, and aloha, everybody. Thank you for your support.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few hundred dollars. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. That's Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Bob Denny, PGA historian emeritus, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha. Aloha to you.
Yes, it's good to have you on the show. And, you know, when I said, what's been your experience at the Masters? And you said following Ben Crenshaw. What year was that?
1995, his second victory.
Wow, when he was 43?
Yeah, and he just come off from the emotional funeral of Harvey Penix.
Oh, Wow. Yeah. So Ben was the two-time amateur, low amateur, in 1972 and 73. In 84, he won the Masters by two over Tom Watson. And then in 95, he won his second green jacket. And what was it like following him?
Well, to preface that, then Danielle, part of the golf course was consumed by an amateur by the name of Tiger Woods who's on the golf course. That was his first appearance, and I watched him for about eight holes. Then I switched over to watch Ben and others, and my goodness gracious, Ben had tremendous fortune, as well as, as you know, history is one of history's greatest putting strokes.
So did you... Now, that was the year that Tiger didn't make the cut, right? That
Correct.
Right. Correct. Okay. Which, you know, it seems strange to say that. Tiger didn't make the cut. What was the problem?
Well, he was just adapting, I think, to the golf course. That was the first time he'd been in competition on the golf course. And then he learned so quickly after that. But, you know, my goodness, that was 1995, and then 2 years later, he wins the Masters.
Right. Yes, he had that experience, and I'm never going to not make this cut. And 22 years later, you know, this is his 22nd cut made at Augusta National.
Right, and Ben was just absolutely incredible. He had no three putts that week.
No three putts?
No. And it was incredible, just watching him. And he had a couple bounces, and later on, Julia's wife was quoted as saying that one fortunate bounce he took in number eight, and then another one on, I guess it was 13th, whatever it was. She said that was a Harvey bounce, like a Harvey Penick bounce, or an angel on his shoulder, you know. And Ben took advantage of it. It was just wonderful to watch. And Ben, I can say that I've had some really nice interactions with Ben, and he is indeed the gentle Ben and humble, and I love the man, and I really sort of respect his career and where he's taken it after competition.
Yes, absolutely. He was on Golf Channel talking about the hole locations today, and they brought up the gentle Ben moniker that he has, right? And then he goes, yes. You know, I sometimes wonder why I have that, because I have a terrible temper. And I thought, boy, I've never, you know, I've only met the man twice. So, you know, terrible temper doesn't seem like doesn't fit Ben Crenshaw,
no.
Right?
No, he gets mad at himself. And, you know, and one time he broke the putter, and I think he had to putt with a club. I forget where it was. Must have been a Ryder Cup or something. And he had to putt with the other club because he had broken his putter. And he's a perfectionist, obviously, and I don't know if you've played his golf courses, Danielle, but I will tell you that I think they're some of the best around, and they're so fun to play regardless of the challenges because it blends so well with nature, and that to me is part of what Ben's all about.
Yes, yes, that's what golf is supposed to be. It's supposed to be played in, you know, like the way the ground lies. You know, that's where it all started in good old Scotland and England in general, you know, up there along the coast.
Yes.
You know, let's just knock some rocks around here. And so and then it developed. We're not knocking rocks anymore, are we? But you, you have seen this game through a lot of transitions. And I just want to mention something that was pointed out in an article that was written about you 2 days after Bob retired. It was announced that the Horton Smith Award will be renamed because Smith was a defender of the Caucasian-only membership clause. As the at the time PGA historian, how did you delve into that? How did you discover all that?
Well, it is a layered process, to be honest with you. I wasn't out to just shut down history.
Right.
I was out to just find the other side of history. And what it boiled down to was oral testimony by Bill Spiller Sr. To author Al Borco. And it appears in Getting to the Dance Floor that Al Barkow wrote in 1988. And he had an interview with Bill Spiller prior to that. And he took it all down, and Al corroborated the testimony. And he also interviewed at the time Jackie Burke Jr., who was in the room and listened to it all in San Diego at the San Diego Open in 1952. And it, to set the table for you, the L.A. Open was preceded that tournament, Danielle, and they invited the manager for Joe Louis, the boxer and the golfer, called Cole Horton Smith and the San Diego officials. First of all, the San Diego officials, and say we'd like to have Mr. Louis and Bill Spiller and others come down and play in the tournament, because they were encouraged to play. But what happened at the time is the San Diego officials didn't know about the Caucasian rule with the PGA of America, and that caused the big hubbub. And Mr. Smith met with a number of people, including the officials, in a room in his clubhouse. And Bill Spiller was encouraged by Jimmy Demerit to go into the room and said, "They're talking about you. You better get in there." And so he got in there and he got into an argument with Horton Smith. And that testimony appears in the book. And as a result, out of that, Mr. Smith developed a panel that would allow the players to come into the championship, and invited Joe Louis to be a member of the field that week. Okay, Bill Spiller was not allowed to be a member of the field, and Joe Louis was, as you know, the celebrated American hero from way back.
Yeah,
and he played in it. Bill Spiller stood on the tee with his bag prior to the opening of the tee shot, and Joe came up to him and says, "You'll have to move." And he begrudgingly moved off the tee, and they were able to play, and they had a handshake photo with Horton Smith and Joe Louis.
Wow.
What I'm trying to tell you is that Joe Louis was not the first African-American to play in a PGA-sanctioned event. In 1942, in Niles, Illinois, at the Tam O'Shanter Open, there were 7 African-Americans that actually played. And there's a record of those continuing for several events prior to 1952. So in a long story, I'm trying to tell you, Danielle, is that it's the research that bears witness to this, and it was just a matter of the PGA not changing in time. It's taken a long time to change. In 1961, the Caucasian rule was changed.
Yay!
And yes. and it was only because of Bill Spiller moving and establishing a relationship with California Attorney General Stanley Mosk. And Mosk organized the campaign that open membership golf courses are the only ones that could host a championship by the PGA within the state of California. And when he also encouraged that, and he spread it out to California attorney generals around the country. And that championship that was supposed to be in California at Bel Air was moved to Aronimink in Philadelphia for 1962.
So Robert,
these chain of events, Daniel, all started because of all of that. And the only thing that was accomplished from it was African Americans could play in events following the San Diego Open, but only at the invitation of the host club or a sponsor. And those were few and far between, and those were the one receiving most of those benefits. Charles Sifford mentions that in his book. If anybody's read it, Let Me Play, in that book, and Charlie cites that same story that
Bob Denny, PGA historian emeritus, we're losing you. I think we're going to have a conversation again, because you're just a wealth of information. Bob, thanks so much for being on the show. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Aloha. We're going to come back. Ron Cyrak is with us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
KORL Waianae, Honolulu.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, and LPGA Media Excellence Award. He has covered the Masters many, many times. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Aloha, Danielle. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. How many times have you walked Augusta National?
32. yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's that make it? About 9 months out of a year, something like that.
Has it ever been in the 50s, blowing wind and 40 temp, you know, like so cold that everybody's complaining about?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the interesting things about this time of the year down there is the temperature can be anywhere from 48 to 88 degrees. You know, it's springtime in the South, and it can vary. And, you know, what happened earlier in the week, massive storms came through, and then behind the storms was cold weather, high winds and low temperatures.
Oh, dear, what do I pack? You know, that's a woman's nightmare. You have to bring it for the summer and for the winter. We were talking earlier about a Masters golf ball with an architect because of the changes that are happening at Augusta National. What are your thoughts on the changes and the idea of a Masters golf ball?
Well, they are the one tournament that could do it. You know, I mean, they're the only tournament. It's not run by a governing body or a tour. It's run by a private club. So they could make whatever rules they wanted to make there. It seems from what Fred Ridley has said at the chairman's news conference, both last year and this year, that they're still waiting to see what the USGA and the RNA does about the golf ball. But, you know, when it becomes a threat is they don't want their golf course to become to be overwhelmed by technology and to become possibly obsolete. And I think that'd be a tragedy for the game to lose some of the iconic golf courses. But it's clear that distance is on their radar screen. Now, one of the great defenses that they have at Augusta National that they're always going to have is they have the best greens on the planet, and they are really diabolical greens, and they can always make the golf course tough just on hole locations. But You got to be careful that you don't get too close to miniature golf doing that.
Yeah, okay, that was funny. The best greens, diabolical. Best and diabolical in the same sentence. Now, when you were looking at the hole locations today, it was also discussed that Saturday's hard and then they make it super easy on Sunday. Is that true, and why so?
That's what they've been doing really in recent years, and if you look at the scores right now, the best I saw of anybody out there is 2 under par on the day, and Victor Hovland got the 2 under in the back nine. I think he just made a bogey. Now he's 1 under. So if nobody may go into the 60s today. I think that they want to have a day where it's very difficult, and today plays right into it because. The wind is such a factor at Augusta National because where your golf, you don't just want to be on the greens at Augusta. You want to be on the right spot on the greens or else you're going to pre-putt. So positioning your ball into the right quadrant of the green is really important. And when the wind's blowing, it's hard to put the ball in the right spot. So what they like is to have sort of weed out the pack on Saturday by having very challenging conditions. And then having a highly entertaining Sunday in which people can go low.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, I get that. By the way, I was looking at Twitter here, and Steve DiMeglio, that was the 15th time Tiger Woods has four-putted in his PGA Tour career. I didn't see it.
Yeah, number five. Yeah, he had a very long putt, which he lagged up to about 8 feet and did okay. So he had 8 feet for par, and he hit that about 3 feet past the hole, and then he missed the comebacker.
Oh, dear. That's always painful. Yeah, we can relate.
He had out bogey, birdie, par, par, so it looked like he might be. You know, he's had trouble with. Yesterday he was 4 over through 5 holes. He's had, and I've always felt, one of the keys to scoring at Augusta is to get to the 8th tee even par. If you can play the first 7 holes even par, then you have the last 11 holes. There's 3 par 5s. They're all reachable in 2. There are scoring opportunities. But those first 7 holes, I think, are really underrated for how difficult they are.
Well, yeah, if you're saying that, they must be. So with the Masters happening this week and Scottie Scheffler being like, you know, this dynamo, has he teed off? Just about, right? He's about to tee off now with something like 220.
We got about another half hour.
Another half hour.
Yep.
Okay, so
yep.
he was 5-8 under, 5 ahead of everyone.
Five shot lead. Yep.
Right. And so he's won three times already this year. How does this feel? How does this feel to you?
Well, what I like the fact is here we got a guy who a couple of months ago was 15th in the world, and now he's number one. But he came into this tournament ranked number one in the world, and he's playing like he's the best player in the world. And it's nice to see that somebody at the age of 25 isn't overwhelmed by the magnitude of the stage. You know, he's not intimidated by the fact that he's at Augusta National. He's not intimidated by the fact that it's the Masters. He's not intimidated by the fact that he's number one. And on top of that, you know, he's a nice guy. And I think part of that easy, relaxed attitude that he brings to the way he interacts with the fans and the media makes him a good golfer. You know, makes him the kind of person who does not get rattled in big situations. And we're seeing that. We say with a lot of really talented young players, boy, when this guy finally wins a tournament, the floodgates are going to open and he's going to win a bunch of them. And usually we're wrong, but we were right with Scottie Scheffler. You know, we felt that if he got that first win, the wins would come in bunches, and they are now.
And they are now. So this is the, the handing over of the baton. Is this the, you know, Tiger is now Scottie?
Well, you know, I mean, look, we've been... Since 2010, we've probably proclaimed 6 different players to be the next Tiger Woods, and none of them have been the next Tiger Woods. The next Tiger Woods, we may be a decade away from the next Tiger Woods. It was 11 years between when Jack won his last Masters and Tiger won his first Masters. You know, and we're sort of. It feels to me like we're in the same period now as in men's golf as we were when we were between Nicklaus and Woods. And between Nicklaus and Woods, we had, Nick Faldo and Greg Norman, Nick Price, Curtis Strange, Paul Azinger, Fred Couples, a lot of really, really, really good players, but no one dominant breakout player. And we still don't have that dominant breakout player. We thought it was going to be McIlroy. We thought it was going to be Spieth. We thought it was going to be Koepka. We thought it was going to be Justin Thomas, we'll see if it's going to be Scottie Scheffler. But for right now, he's on a very, very encouraging role.
Yeah, and I love his position. It's like, I do the best that I can. If I win, I win. If I don't, I don't. And that's, I did the best I can.
I think he's in a very good, I mean, he could shoot, I think if he shoots even par on the weekend, that could be good enough to win. Certainly if he shoots 70-70 on the weekend, he will win. That would get him to 12 under par, and that means somebody else has got to play the weekend a total of 10 under to get to him. And as I say that, Justin Thomas has just birdied the second and the third hole, and he's now among that group of people, five shots behind Scheffler. And Thomas is the kind of guy who could put up, he could put up a 66 or a 65 today and get right back in the mix.
Wow. Okay. And he does not like not being number one. He's a great guy. I enjoy his tenacity. He just seems to be very settled in his ways. Nelly Korda, changing script completely. She released yesterday a wonderful tweet with photos. And I want to thank everyone for the overwhelming support and messages I have received the last few weeks. Your kind words have helped me get through this challenging and scary time. She went through a surgery for a blood clot in the subclavian vein, and she's pleased to report the procedure went well. The doctors were happy with the outcome. I'm home recovering, preparing to start rehab. I'm looking forward to getting back to 100% so I can begin practicing. Thank you for the well wishes and the continued privacy. That was so cool that she, let us know where she's at, and now she's going to do what she's got to do.
Having had a blood clot incident twice in my life, I know it's not something that you mess around with. That was a very, very serious thing. But they caught it early. They were able to do something about it. And we've known Serena Williams had blood clot issues and came back from it to be a competitor. Sophie Gustafson, the golfer, had blood clot problems. Not unusual in people who spend a lot of time on airplanes, but sometimes it's a genetic thing. That's what it was in my case. But the fact is, all this is positive. We don't have a clear timetable for when she's going to be able to come back. It doesn't sound like it was a hugely invasive procedure in which they had to damage a lot of muscle. So I expect we'll see her, sometime in the early summer.
Yeah, I miss her. There's something about her. She's that it factor. Speaking of, LPGA, The LPGA Lotte is going to be happening this coming week. It's going to be Wednesday, going from Wednesday to Saturday. The final round, of course, played Saturday for the Asia market, so they can watch on a Sunday at their leisure and enjoy the tournament. Have you ever been to our Lotte, Ron Syrak?
I have not. I've not been there, but I used to go to the opening event used to be at Turtle Bay for quite a bit, and I loved that. Also ended on a Saturday, and I loved that. I'm a big fan of LPGA events going Wednesday to Saturday. Don't go up against the final round of PGA Tour golf on a Sunday. You sort of can have Saturday to your own as Championship Saturday, and I think it's a good thing. And I know they do it for Korean TV, but sometimes they do it for travel reasons if they're coming back from Asia. I think that they should do that more often.
Yeah, good point. Now, our defending champ is Lydia Ko. She's turned her game around, seriously. Do you know what she's done?
She's made a believer out of me over the last year. She sort of has teased us the last couple of last couple of years where it looked like she was going to get it back, looked like she was going to get back. But now I really believe that she has. I mean, the last time I saw her, she's hitting the ball further than she hit it. She's picked up about 10, 12 yards off the tee. But I think the real key is she's got her confidence back. You know, she had that down period in there where she just couldn't put the ball. She was hitting it short and crooked, which is a bad combination off the tee. And I think right now she's playing with new confidence, and she's got such a great attitude. You know, she is such a happy, upbeat person that I do think we're going to see her get a major championship sometime soon, perhaps this year.
I'm glad that you could tell us that, because I've only seen her in competition where, of course, she's not necessarily upbeat, you know, or happy. You don't see a person's true personality because they're in competitive mode.
Danielle, when she was 16 years old, she joined the LPGA Tour, and the first pro-am on the LPGA that she played in was in the Bahamas at the Pure Silk tournament in the Bahamas, and I played with her. I was in her group that week. And so that the pro-am's on a Wednesday, and on Saturday I'm in the press center, and the tournament director comes over, hands me an envelope. It's a handwritten note from Lydia, you know. So, I mean, this long, thoughtful note. Thank you for playing with me in my first pro-am as an LPGA member. I'm sorry we didn't win, but you putted great today. And, you know, and she's going on and on. And I'm thinking, this is from a 16-year-old kid. I said, you know, either she's incredibly grounded or she's got incredibly grounded people around her. Whichever this is the case, it's a good thing, you know. And so I'm never going to let go of that note. I still have it. And I next time I saw her, I said, you know, Lydia, Tiger Woods almost never writes me notes, you know, thank you.
How many rounds of golf are you playing now? A week?
I'm actually, and one of the reasons I'm not in Augusta this week, I'm having eye surgery, and I'm getting some cataract sticks so that I can follow my golf ball better.
Yes.
But when I'm here, until then, through February and March, I was playing 4 or 5 times a week.
Wow. See what happens when you're not
but
traveling
as much.
I want
to be ready. I'm covering the Women's U.S. Open at Pine Needles for the USGA. So I want to have my new eyes all up and running by then.
Well, I'm sure they'll be up and running by then. I can't wait, and I'm so glad you'll be able to follow your golf ball. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Aloha, Danielle. Talk to you down the road, my friend.
Aloha. And if you're looking for a place to play a round of golf today, at Poipu Bay, there's a 920, and a movie crew is out, and they're playing golf. Puakea has an 8:30, and good morning, TJ Kua. I shouldn't be saying 8:30 since it already is. There's a 9:30 and a 10:30. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 9:50 and a 10:30. Eva Beach has a 2:52. Makaha has a 9:27, and the Club Hale, they're out playing today. And Maui Nui has a noon, and after that, they've got some openings for you. Got to thank the people who make this show possible. Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore. Aloha Power Equipment's new Megastore, next door to Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwile. You'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment you need or you want. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and a whole lot more. Aloha Power Equipment in Waipahu and their Megastore on Alakava, next door to the Costco gas station. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. MD Restoration. Okay, floods, fires. It doesn't have to be raining for there to be a flood. Something breaks, a water pipe, something outdoors, something indoors. Oh my, all of a sudden you've got a disaster, fire. I don't even want to think about that. You need help. And MD Restoration is on it any time of the day or night, right away. If disaster strikes your home, your office, call MD Restoration. They're licensed contractors, you see. So they'll do your cleanup, the mitigation, and the repairs. The number 528-3434. And we are very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at this game is to learn and take lessons from a PGA, a PGA of America member. It takes a lot of time, love of the game to become a PGA. And because they love the game and they love teaching, they'll be able to teach you well. Okay, and if you're looking for a gift, be sure to give a Poipu Bay gift certificate. Everybody loves them. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. And if you'd like to hear the show again, radiogolfclub.com. It's podcast there. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.